Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your spirit already moving. God, we thank you for this body. Lord, we thank you for what just happened 5 minutes ago, Lord, lifting up Sue's. Lord, thank you that you have provided such a community, Lord, that we are not alone. Lord, that we do carry one another's burdens in prayer and look for ways to serve and bless. And Lord, I'm honored to be here. Thank you for this body, and thank you for bringing everyone here. Lord, thank you for the way you designed things, that you designed it this way, that we're not meant to be alone, but we're meant to rely on each other and to have one another, to lift each other up and serve one another. So we thank you. Pray that you'll bless the rest of this morning, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to first of all apologize to the men this morning. There was a men's meeting, and I did not attend, so I apologize to you guys. I had some finishing touches to do on this talk, so I had to weigh my options. Could I hang out with the guys, or just I felt like getting ready for this was a little bit more important. Also, you know, this is probably my flesh justifying this, but I was at VBS Workday yesterday at 7 in the morning. Well, I was at VBS Workday, so I was like, you know, it's okay, but, you know. And I want to say RJ was there also. It was awesome. RJ and Kayton were there helping out, serving, so it was really cool. So I came here this morning walking a little low, kind of hiding, not wanting to meet my brother's eyes as I'm eating their pancakes back there. You know, so just feeling kind of bad, and but, you know, had my reasons in my head, and then I said, hey, well, who spoke? And they said, RJ. So there goes my out. What excuse do I have? He shared. He's there like till noon yesterday. But yeah, no, I wanted to just always finishing touches, coming in. Still no PowerPoint, though, so I apologize for that in advance. One of the things, when you prepare for a sermon, you come in here and you feel like you've heard the Lord's word and you feel like you have an idea of what he wants to share, it's always nice when you come in and there's validation in different ways, that God can validate that you are on the right track, that you're hearing his voice as I was preparing. And one of the ways I do that is listening to the songs, the worship songs. You know, and hearing if one of those goes along with what I'm sharing. You know, and I have to say that as Pat's going through all of his songs, every single one of them had absolutely nothing to do with what I'm sharing about today. So we'll see. No, I'll be honest. Actually, I will say that, except the last song. And honestly, God showed up. And that was it. So I'll talk about that later on. So I spoke a couple of weeks ago. We're doing our series on mercy. And I shared a few weeks ago. I think I had about 35, 40 minutes prepared. And I think I shared for about 12 of those minutes. So today I had 12 minutes prepared and I got 40. So we're going to see. No, but my plan is to touch on what I shared about last time and just kind of continue in that thread of mercy and God's mercies that are new every morning and relying upon his mercies throughout the day. And that's what I'm wanting to share. So just to recap, first, a couple weeks ago, shared in Romans our need for God's mercy, that we have all fallen short. That each one of us, that we are in dire need of mercy, his mercy. For we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The more we study the law, the more we read the Bible, we realize that I fall short. It's a mirror. It's a mirror. So we need God's mercy. And I shared on that God, out of his mercy, did everything necessary to fix our broken situation. That he did it all, acting out of his mercy by sending his son. So in Ephesians 2, I think that's what I have up there, right, Sam? Is it up? No. Okay, well, I can read it. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. There we go. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. This starts with, it's this all out of God being rich in mercy. We are here because of God's mercy. God's rich in mercy. That's why each one of us is sitting here today. And all that he did in his son. If God, I've shared this before, if God withheld every other blessing in our lives, our homes, our jobs, our families, if he withheld our health, all of it, and all he did was did what he did on the cross, we have enough to be thankful for eternity. There's enough to praise him for all eternity, for all that he did. But he does so much more. He lavishes so much grace and good things on us still, as we sang today. And I shared about the unforgiving servant who owed a very large debt and was forgiven his debt after he pleaded and begged, and then went out and found those other people who owed him money, and instead of extending that same mercy that was extended to him, grabbed them, shook them up, give me the money you owe me, and did not extend what God or what his master had extended to him. Shows that he did not get it. His response to the mercy that he received was poor. That should be grateful. Gratefully received and given to others. So God's mercies that he extends to us throughout the day, trusting in him. His spirit that he has provided, that he gives us in our hearts. So I want to talk about that a little bit. This week, this last couple of weeks, everyone is well aware, and our dear friends, our neighbors, the Imhoffs, they're who we have prayed for years in this church, their 15-year-old son, Reese, went to be with the Lord about almost a month ago now. And walking with them through it, right across the street, you know, you see God's hand in that. That they visited Cade in the hospital, and now they're walking a much more serious journey, but somewhat similar. And hearing Cade and Reese with these conversations that they had, and speaking a language all of their own. But God's plan was to bring him to heaven. That he had fought long enough. That Reese had fought long and hard enough, and brought him home. And the response that we have seen in our community has been amazing. In our block, we live in it's called Kyle Court. It's like a little circle. You go in one way, you go out the other, you can go around. That was very important that you know that for visualizing. And it's that direction, I think. But neighbors organize a prayer walk around the neighborhood. Let's walk around the neighborhood 7 times and pray. And then everyone's going at different paces. Started as a group, but then people walking in different paces, it starts spreading out to, it's just like a train, it's just everyone. You just see people. If you're looking out your window, every 2 seconds you're seeing someone else walk by. And then if Aaron saw you looking out your window, she's knocking on your door and saying, get out here. It grew as the afternoon went on. So sadly, that was the night that Reese went to heaven. It was that night. So the next morning, we had found out that evening, and They had family praying for them and friends praying for them every day at 4 o'clock in front of their house for weeks leading up to it. Just Christy and her friends, and Aaron was a part of that, and they wanted to continue that the next day at 4 o'clock that day when everyone heard, and it was 50, 55, 60 people from our block and others out in front of the house to pray for the Imhoffs. Reese's grandmother came out, and I think Paul came out briefly as well. And we're there, and all these people are here, and we're gonna pray for them. And I felt a nudge in my heart from the Holy Spirit saying that I should play a role in this, that I should kind of, as the neighbor walking with them, this is our neighborhood, to kind of start this thing. It was a nudge of the Holy Spirit and a nudge of Aaron saying, you should lead this, help with this. So it was validated by my wife's gentle nudges as well. And Paul's really good friend, Ian, was there, who's also walked with him. He spoke at the service the other day. And he, you know, I went up to him and said, hey, I think you and I could do this. You know, I'll start it, you know, and share, and then we can just kind of go. And he looked at me like, yeah, I haven't ever done anything like this. And I was, same thing. I haven't done anything like this. It was something, it was very important, you know, it was important. There were a lot of people there and tears and crying and family members. And I felt, I want to say, not say a burden, but like, this is a big deal. And my initial reaction is to fall back into my gifts and speak out and what I can do. And honestly, after I talked to Ian, saddled up outside him and, you know, said, hey, we'll start this, you know, and I was going to start it, and I just kind of waited. I just stopped, and I just waited, and I wasn't ready yet. I had thoughts. I had to get my mind in a place to do this because it was bigger than me. This was bigger than me. This was bigger than things I've done. I can stand in front of a room of 80 kids. I'm okay there. This was hard. This was different because it was so important. So it was a moment of getting myself right. Honestly, it was a moment of getting myself out of the way. Getting myself, getting the fears of I'm not the guy for this, and also getting the I can do this. I'm quieting them both and just get out of the way and listen to that other voice, to God's spirit in me, and try to hear his voice in that moment. And I was literally waiting, and I was hoping Ian didn't just start because it was almost borderline awkward because I'd already shared with him, hey, we'll start, and it was like about a minute. And then I started and shared, and it was blessed, and we prayed. Tony was there. We ended with a song at the end, and that was the same thing, as it's coming to an end. Okay, what trust, just trusting, what to do, where do we go from here, as the praying out was getting a little bit less, and you know, Tony and I were in agreement to let's do a song, and ended with a song. So it was a moment that was bigger than me, and we all have these moments, and I've shared this before, that God will never give you more than you can handle. We hear that. We've heard that. That's not in the Bible, okay? And I've shared that, you know, he does all the time, gives us stuff that's bigger than us. That's more than we can handle, because it is then that we press into him. But I was thinking about that this week as I was preparing for this, about walking in the Spirit and trusting in the Lord for everything, that kind of presupposes this idea that there are things that I can do that I don't need God, and then there are things that I cannot do that I do need God. And it's when those things are much bigger than me that I invite him in, I pray to him, and rely on him for those things that are too big for me, as opposed to those other things that I can handle in my own strength. That I got this, Lord, I have this. You get to take the afternoon off. This one, I got. Trusting in me. Trusting in my gifting. Trusting in what I can do and my experiences and kind of leaving him out. You're good. I got this. Let's have a seat and I'll do what I can do here in my own strength. And no, you know, I don't want to be there. I want to trust him. I think that's what he means by being led by the Spirit. Guys group that we meet on Friday mornings. We've been reading, or we just finished reading, Watchman Nee, The Normal Christian Life. John touched upon it last week, and I drew upon it a few weeks ago. And he has this whole chapter of walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And he talks about the difference of trying versus trusting. Of trying versus trusting. In that moment at the Imhoffs, I had an opportunity to try. I'm going to try, as opposed to taking a step back and trusting and letting that other voice, God's Spirit in me. And I'm going to trust. Literally, a physical deep breath. I do the breath. I lean back on my heels. Literally, I lean back. You know, and I'm just sitting and I'm trying, letting him go before me and turning my heart towards him. I'm just going to read Romans 8, 14, just verse 14, Sam. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. In that verse, it talks a lot about the difference of being led by the flesh versus the Spirit, and the importance of being led by God's Spirit that he has given us in everything. It's not just in battles against deeds of the flesh and sin, but it's a daily, minute-by-minute trusting in him. I do want to read from Luke 6, and this is where Jesus talks about knowing a tree by its fruit. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. We are known by our fruit. What's going on in our hearts? How do you know what we say, what we do? James validates this, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That if this saving grace of God has happened in our hearts, it will show in our works. It will show. However, as a tree that bears fruit, like we all do, we inspect our fruit. We're fruit inspectors, right? We're very good at inspecting other people's fruit. We're excellent at that. But even at inspecting our own fruit, things that we battle with, things that keep coming up, that why am I still dealing with that? Where that pops up. So it's good. I think the best person to ask what your fruit is your spouse. She'll tell you. Or he'll tell you. Right? Here's some of mine. Kindness. Gentleness. You're supposed to laugh at that. Humility. I have a temper, I am impatient, anger. Why am I still wrestling with this? Paul, in Galatians 5, he gives us a list. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We're led by the Spirit. So it goes into some bad fruit. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, couple of those things, little conviction. Yep, a little, yeah. Yep, that one. Inspecting my fruit. There's the mirror, right? That's the mirror right there. And then going on to the good fruit. He goes on to the good fruit, and he actually says fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So this battle, I think the answer is the same. Whether we are trying to get rid of the bad fruit, the apple, the anger apples, the envy apples, oh, there's another jealousy apple. If we focus on that, there it is again. Okay, not this time. I'm going to chop that down. Whoom. Chop that. There it is. Oh, there's jealousy. Chop it down. There's envy. Chop it down. Keep chopping it down. Keep chopping it. And then guess what? Anger pops up again. And then you're over here. And there's this, it's like the boy puts his finger in the dike, right? And then all these, you can't. It's pointless. If you're wrestling with that, with just watching your own fruit and chopping it down, you will be exhausted. That's every other religion. That's every other religion. That's it. You better have more. At the end, do you have more good fruit or bad fruit? And that's it. So you better get those good fruits going and chop down those bad fruits. And it's exhausting, and the enemy loves us to keep us right there. Just stay there. Let him work at fighting anger. Just let him deal with that. Let him walk into the house after work and say, this time, I'm going to do it. We pull up our bootstraps and we walk in, and I am going to not, when I'm attacked by the dog and all these other things happening, when I step into my house, I'm going to be good. I'm going to, this time, not like last night, this time. And you know, honestly, I think the enemy, he's okay if you have good days. Awesome. Yeah, good. Let him focus on that. It's a good day. Let's strengthen that try. Let's strengthen that flesh, that self, that he can do it. And he's doing it to please God. And that's great. Let's keep God over there, and let's keep him over here, trying to please him over there. As opposed to being led by the Spirit, or no, he's here. He's in my heart. It is him working in me. As I step into my house, I have a great house, by the way. I don't think that this is an example. It's just an example. It's a hypothetical. I love coming home. I love coming home. Come sit here. trying versus trusting. The enemy loves to keep us there. He loves to, when we're beaten up about the fruit that remains, the bad stuff that remains, condemnation. He jumps on us and on our shoulders saying, yep, you still can't do that. Still a loser. There's no way God loves you. You got to fix this before he's ever going to love you. That's where he feeds off of that. He loves it when we are focused on our fruit. And we forget what the word says about who we are. That first, our standing before God has nothing to do with our fruit. Thank you, Lord. It has nothing to do with that. It isn't when this week I had 18 more fruits of the Spirit than I had fruits of the flesh, so I could stand before God a little taller now. And God's going to, he's definitely going to hear my prayers better. Because look at what I'm coming to him with. Look at this barrel of good fruit this week. Basing our standing on our fruit, no. Because then when we fall, we lose that confidence because it's based on something that is unstable. our fruit is unstable. It changes every day. I have good minutes and bad minutes. I'm a teacher. I have good minutes and bad minutes. I have good hours and a bad hour. It's like, how can one day be like this? You know, but it is, and I think we're all like that. So he gets us focused on that, on the fruit, and not on what God's word says about us that is already finished. Watchman Nee talks about this, about what's done. We try to do things that are already done. It's already done. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. That was Romans 5. It's finished. So it's not about our trying. There are two words that every New Year's pops up a lot. You hear it a lot. Willpower. Our willpower. The enemy loves willpower. It's not in God's vocabulary. Willpower. It's just a trust. It's a trusting. Like I said, the enemy would love our success after success if it's in our own strength. It's fine. But that one victory that truly came from a stop, hold on, I'm not going to enter this luncheon with this guy who drives me crazy and I lose it after about 10, we're into the salad and I lose it. But at this time, again, I'm going to pull up my bootstraps and I'm going to hang tough. And I get, maybe I'll make it through the second course. I don't know. Hey, maybe through the second course. But then I lost it. Lost it again. We might do better this time than that time. But if we are trusting, I'm going to go into that luncheon different. I'm going to go in not trying, but trusting. Taking that step back, standing aside and letting God work in me, through me. Last Christmas, Cade wanted catcher's gear for Christmas. Cade's going to be playing for the Yankees. He will be the first to tell you that. And I think it's awesome. He's 13. That's what every 13-year-old boy is supposed to think. But he will. So when we first open it, and it's kind of nice stuff. You know, it wasn't like cheesy catcher's gear. I got it for him for two reasons. One, there was a good deal on it. The Sporting Goods store was like half off, and it was good stuff. And then the second reason that I got it for him is when your 12-year-old boy who 6 years ago was barely walking and couldn't talk and do these things, when he asks you for catcher's gear for Christmas, you get it for him. You're getting it. And Christmas Day, he's getting this thing out, wanting to put it on. I'm watching him put it on, straps and all this, and he's doing this with one hand. You know, so I'm kind of watching. Obviously, my initial is to come in and just, I got you, I'll do it, put it on. But even with Kate, I'm trying to do a little less. Let's let him try for a while. Let him try. He's doing it, he's getting frustrated, and then he gives up and he says, can you help me? And then I step in and I help. That is a good place for us. That's what God is waiting for us to get to. To get to that place where we say, I can't do this. This anger thing is bigger than me. I can't do it. You have to do it. Till we get to the end of ourselves and we give up. And we say, Lord, you do it. And then we trust. It's not... I kind of get that. And before those scenarios, we pray, Lord, help me to do this. And we pray, and that's a good thing that we pray. But then we put God back over there, and we step into it in our own strength. Yes, we prayed, but then we did it in our own strength. It's a subtle difference. Do you see the difference of stopping and inviting him in and standing aside? When Cade said, I can't do it, will you help me? Get to that point where I can't do this. Will you help me? Whether it's deeds of the flesh or even the fruit of the Spirit. Love, to show patience It's the same part of us that God wants to work in us. His Spirit, being led by His Spirit. And He is faithful to do it. He's waiting for us. That's what He wants to do. Because here's the thing. Who gets the glory if it happens for those victories? He does. If we go in and we make it through a whole dinner, and we, oh my goodness, I didn't get angry once. So watch me, and he talks about it. Not one time. And we're surprised by it. That's God. That's God's Spirit doing in us what we cannot do. We trust Him to do it, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Waiting for Him, standing back. I do Mad Libs in school. Every time we do a new grammar lesson, I start with a little Mad Lib. You remember Mad Libs? Give me a noun. Give me a pronoun. Give me an adjective. And it's sometimes very disheartening. It's April. There I go again. My private school commercials. Right? But I think we need to change the verbs a little bit from trying to trusting, from struggling to relying. I'm resting. Let's use those verbs a little bit. I'm resting. Those actions, it's an action word. Need talks about this is not passive. I mean, you just don't do anything. You just go in, you don't try, you just don't do anything. Kind of, but no, because we're not doing nothing. We are trusting. That's active. We are relying. That's a verb. Stepping into it, trusting in Him, being led by Him, walking in the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. It is not passive. I like fasting. Fasting, I think, is a little example of this. Because we're hungry, we want to eat in our own flesh, and what do? We deny ourselves, right? We say, nope, and we turn away from ourselves, and we press into the Lord. That's what this is. It's the same muscle, right? It's the same part where we deny ourselves and press into Him. I'm going to press into Him. I'm going to rest in Him. I'm going to rely in Him, on Him, throughout. We are now reading in our men's group, Fearless. It's the story of Adam Brown. It's a Navy SEAL. And it really goes into his story. It's an awesome, awesome book. But it has his struggles with drug addiction as he goes through it. And I didn't realize how much of a Christian story it was going to be. I didn't know as I'm reading it. I don't know, the guys don't know this. I don't know the ending to this story. I have no idea where this is going. So I'm loving it. So, and I appreciate you guys not doing any spoilers. For like Bo, who is the one who like said, hey, this is a great book, we should read it. But watching him go into drug rehab and meet the Lord and put his faith in Jesus. And he wrote a letter to his parents. And I'm just going to read this. Dear Mom and Dad, we're having quiet time at 9:30 p.m. This is at a drug rehab that he's been there for a year, right? But this is a certain amount of time into it. We're having quiet time at 9:30 p.m. I don't think we have to go to work tomorrow. Everyone is going on pass or something. I think every third Saturday in a month, we're up for an 8-hour pass. A man graduated tonight. It was a wonderful thing. He spoke for a while, and then his mom got up and asked to say something. She said, I am so proud of you. I got chills that ran all through my body, and a tear fell down my cheek. I wiped it away and realized the day that happens to me will be absolutely the greatest day I've ever had. I know it is sad that graduating from a drug rehab is your greatest goal, but it is more than that. It is the first day I will be able to look at you with no shame. It is a new chance at life. It is a new beginning for all my family and friends. It is a day I will be totally living for Christ and not ashamed and thankful. I don't want to hear you say one time you are proud of me until that day, because that day I will be able to respect it. Praise God, Dad. Praise God. Dad, you remember how you always just wanted me to finish one thing I started? Well, here it is. Not because I can do it, but because God is going to do it for me. Read Luke 15:11, parable of the lost son. That is how I will come to you, and I know that is how y'all will rejoice. Not because I can do it, but because God is going to do it for me. Where is our confidence? Are we trying? Are we tired of trying and failing, this for this cycle? Let's work at that different part of our hearts. Let's invite, truly invite God into that battle and trust him and look for him in that battle every day, resting in him. He's waiting for us. He waits to be invited into our battles. He waits for us to say, I can't do this. Will you help me? And then to truly rest in him, rely on him. I'm going to read just another quote from just C.S. Lewis, and then I'll close with this. And this is from Mere Christianity. And it speaks to this. He says, that is why the real problem of the Christian life comes where people do not usually look for it. It comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in, and so on all day. Standing back from all your natural fussings and frettings coming in out of the wind. We can only do it for moments at first. We can only do it for moments at first. But from those moments, the new sort of life will be spreading through our system because now we are letting him work at the right part of us. It is the difference between paint, which is merely laid on the surface, and a dye or stain, which soaks right through. Letting him, pushing all that back and letting him work at that right part of us. Last verse is Exodus 14. It's where God led Moses to the Red Sea. God led them there. And when we were in the hospital with Cade, we had a Nerf sword. I think I even brought it in here before. It had this verse, Exodus 14:14. Kept it in the hospital every day. And just reading from verse 10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. There's nowhere for them to go. They had the army, Egyptian army right here, Red Sea right here. They're done. There's nothing they can do. And God led them there. I always got to remember that part. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Let's keep silent and trust and rest and let God fight for us in those moments throughout the day. And he is faithful and just to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Lord, that uphold us throughout the day. God, help us to stand back. Lord, help us to stand aside and let you work. Lord, to stand aside and let you work in our hearts. As the song we sang this morning, that we will climb this mountain with our hands wide open. Lord, that it is you getting us up the mountain. There's nothing we hold on to, Lord. We do not hold on to ourselves, our own efforts. We let go and we trust you. Help us to trust you more. Work at that right part of us, Lord, your spirit in us. Help us to truly know what it means to walk in the spirit. And we thank you for your faithfulness and justice and mercy to forgive us when we fail, and then to be right there to pick us up and walk with us some more. In Jesus' name, amen.